Jesus was the best thing I've ever done.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap tonight. That's absolutely the truth, and as the Word says, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. You know, we tried to fall in love with Him. We heard about Him, and it sounded good, and we tried to follow the best we could, but then we experienced His love. Amen. Amen. And we love Him. We didn't know how to love. We didn't know what true love was, Amen. Right? But He loved us. And now we want to share that love with everybody else. Right? There's more where that came from. we're not in danger of using up the love that He's extended towards us if we share it with somebody else. Amen? Amen, amen. You happy?
Amen.
Well, we're just thankful that we're all together again this evening. And some have come from places afar, and others from not so far, and you're all welcome here tonight, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do this week, and we're looking forward to expressing our love to Him throughout the week, and getting to know Him in a greater measure, and seeing Him move amongst us in a greater measure, and becoming more like Him in a greater measure. Amen, amen. So this being the first night of the meetings, as always is the case, we will have others, many more visitors coming. So just enjoy the little extra room you have tonight, because this will probably be about the end of it, right? And some people think, well, if you get people together and get kind of crowded, that, you know, somehow that's going to take away from the service, and somehow that's going to cramp you, what have you. Well, it might cramp you. But we were in a church building that was supposed to, maybe maximum was 130 people, and we always had more than that. And we had wonderful services. In fact, I would say that in some ways we pressed in a little bit more because we were so close together. Right? Brother Branham says, you know, we were down on the street corner at one time with a tambourine, and as he would put it, you know, no nylons or whatever. You just had your ten fingers and a tambourine and your voice. And he said, you know, we were better off sometimes when we didn't have a whole lot, but we had Him, right? Now, we thank Him so much for all that He's given us, but we don't want those things to get in the way or become a crutch or cause us to sit back and expect somebody else to do something, or, you know, look to somebody else to do something. We want to press, amen, and we want to recognize that this is a new day, right? And this is another opportunity, right? So we want to give it everything that we have and give them our best. Amen. Amen. So we've got ministers from several different places here tonight, and we thank all of them for their sacrifice and their support to be with us and part of these meetings. And Brother Gonzalez and his wife, he's already been up here, opened the service for us. So we picked them up at around 9:30 last night at the airport here. And, you know, they just flew from Johannesburg, South Africa to Cotter, and then from Cotter to Los Angeles, and then had a four-hour bump delay, and then they ended up here in Tucson. So I don't think they knew what time zone or... So they've come a long way, and they look pretty good. Wouldn't say otherwise, but they do. In fact, Brother David was telling me that he needed to go post something, mail something, and he was directed to a place down on Broadway near Pantano in a shopping place. Well, he's staying at Broadway and Wilmot. He walked from there to Broadway and Pantano, and they were too high priced. So somebody told him that there's just a post office. It's just two lights down, you know. So he walked from Pantano and Broadway to Pantano and 22nd. I guess technically it was two lights, but it was 2 miles or more. So he not only did he come a long way, but he walked a long way to, then he wised up and took a bus back to the hotel. But you know, it's as he was mentioning to us on the way here. You know, when you travel, if you've ever traveled a great distance like that and been on a plane for that amount of time, it's good to get up and right. But he's making, so he walked all these miles to come to the post office, right? We can drive a few miles to come to church, right? Support these services, put our shoulder behind it, right? I'm just trying to show you that, you know, a lot of people have come from other countries to support this. So let's do our best this week to support them and to support the services. Amen. So our brother David and his wife, and I see brother Ed Hammermeister, sister Sandy. It's good to have you with us, and brother. I hope I get this right. Is it Piatskowit? Yep. I got it right. Brother Joel and his wife from near Menominee, Wisconsin. Is that close or?
Close to Green Bay.
Oh, close to Green Bay. Yeah. So Wisconsin. So is it nice to be out of the snow? Yeah. And the takes, so is it snowy back home?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you didn't bring it this time. No, okay. Brother Glover, I see. Brother Andrew, God bless you. It's nice to have you with us. And who did I miss? There'll be more coming for sure, and so we'll be introducing them as they come. So I don't want to take much more time, but I do want to emphasize that our approach is going to affect what we receive, right? And so we need to be in expectation. We need to put whatever our desire, whatever our needs are before the Lord and be in expectation. He's arranged for his mouthpieces to be gathered here. And they may leave and never know what was said that you needed to hear, right? And it doesn't matter. Well, of course, we want to give them feedback, and all of us enjoy getting feedback, right? But what's important is that you pull on the gift,
amen,
right? And if you're in expectation, you will, you know, as I've said many times before, I'm almost ashamed when the Lord will pour out so much, and I'm thinking, why didn't I expect more? Right? I appreciate all that He's done, but you know, He in other words, He always exceeds your expectation. Right? So don't sit back and be a spectator, and don't look at this as, you know, well, we hired some guys to come in and get us into, put us in revival. No, the revival starts in you.
Amen.
Amen. As Albert Einstein has been quoted as saying so many times, the definition of insanity is to do things the same way and expect different results. Right? So we want to, we don't want to be in any kind of routine this week. And we want to just press. And you should expect the unexpected. Right? You should expect the supernatural. We serve a supernatural God. Amen. And He's naturally supernatural. Hallelujah. Amen. So just one other thing that I want to add. So last night we went and picked up the Gonzalez's from the airport. And, you know, they've already endured, you know, there was a 4-hour, like I said, extension. They already had a layover, but then they had to clear customs. But then there was a 4-hour delay right about then. They get to the baggage claim area, and I guess they took the elevator down. And you know how you stand out front and you're expecting people to come down the stairs. And So I didn't see them, but they saw us. They were over at the baggage area, and I thought, well, you know, I thought their flight came in. And anyway, he surprised us. We both, as people do today, we both were looking down at our phones, you know. He walked up and surprised us. Anyway, they were the last ones to get their bag, so the baggage carousel is just going, and had been doing that for about, I don't know, seemed like 20 minutes or so. Well, the last couple of bags, one of them got stuck, and nobody was in a hurry to unstuck it, you know. So they're waiting and waiting and waiting, and we're just feeling bad for them. So took them to the car. We start driving back, and we're coming down Valencia, heading east on Valencia. Went right past Cold, and I'll be the first to admit that I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I can't talk and drive a lot of times, and you just get caught up in the conversation and miss your turn or whatever. But I was bothered by that, and I was dwelling on it again this morning. So I'm telling them, so we added another, I don't know, 20 minutes or so to their, right, to getting them tucked away in the hotel. And I was wondering, okay, is it because I'm 66? Is that why I missed the turn? That might have something to do with it. But it hit me this morning, right? And I think many times just these little things, you're trying to make sense of these little things in your life, and there's a purpose in it if we just, you know, we look to the Lord, right? So it came to my mind this morning, that route where you come, you head east, then you turn left on Cold. I only drove that twice a day for 13 years, right? So how is it that I missed that turn? I was kind of, how in the world did I miss it? Well, partly because, as some of you know, they changed the interchange there, right? They came up with, I don't even know what you call it, but you go past Kolb and then you make a left turn and then there's a loop and it takes you back to Kolb and you're able to head in the northern direction. And believe it or not, that really does alleviate some of the traffic issues. I know because I took that route for 13 years, right? But here's the point. The point is, yeah, you did that same route for 13 years twice a day. How is it that you missed it? Well, because they made a change and I was in a rut, right? It was routine. Don't let this be routine. Right? Don't even look at this as, well, it's special meetings again and I'm going to approach it like I have at every special meeting. No, let this be different. Amen. Amen. Let God have a greater liberty this week. Amen. And press in that much harder and expect this to be, you know, I don't know how many, I'm sorry, I will get out of the way here in just a minute, but I don't know how many times I've had different ones come up to me kind of looking for sympathy from me because they didn't get what they were looking for, you know, whether it was they went to somebody else's meetings or whether it was meetings here. And I'm thinking, well, you were expecting something to come your way without you doing anything, right? You've got a part in this. And it only takes one person to get in revival for it to spread, right? So don't look to, well, you know, I'll just, you know, or how about this one? You know, I almost shouted last night. I almost said amen. I almost, you know, got excited. Okay, well, let's go past almost, right? Not telling you to manufacture anything, but just let God have his way. Amen. Amen. I'm in great expectation. How many else is? Amen. So So we're going to invite our brother Josh to come and take his liberty here tonight, and we're in full expectation that God has something for you tonight, right? And don't wait till the last service, tonight, right? Amen. Bless his wonderful name. So as our brother prepares to come, he counts the stars. Amen. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. Sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures great and small. Step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be. That tonight? Amen. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers. Step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry.
Step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day, know I'll be just fine. Grateful for that this evening, that He knows your name. And what's so incredible about that is He would say your name is engraved in the palm of His hand. So there's no way He could ever forget your name. Brother Branham, he would talk about the Jews and how that the 144,000 is going to be, you know, the word of the Lord is going to go to them. And he would say that all their records have been destroyed, so they don't even know what their lineage may be, but God knows. And I thought, if He thinks that much about His natural people, what about the bride of Christ? Sometimes we feel like we're forgotten, or, you know, He's left us all alone. But there's no way He could ever leave you nor forsake you. But He knows your name. And I'm so thankful for that here this evening. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord here tonight? Amen. What an honor it is to be here today. Appreciate the opportunity to be ministering and the invitation. It's good to have my family with me, my sister Loretta and the kiddos. They've journeyed here with me. And it's an honor to be ministering these meetings with these brothers, Brother Andrew, Brother Ed, Brother Daryl, Brother David. It's such an honor to be ministering with these great men of God. Have you come under an expectation? Amen. I've come expecting to hear from the Lord. And we'll get right into the Word. If you would have your scriptures, let's turn to John 17 and 14. We'll read that down to the 17th verse, then Mark 8 and 38. I bring greetings from our home church, Brother Wendell Martin and the saints there at New Life Outreach. They're in Pawnee, Oklahoma. They send their greetings. Amen. It's wonderful. The Lord has a bride around the world, don't he? Amen. John 17 and 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth. In Mark 8 and 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. Can we bow our heads here this evening? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity that you've given us to come into your house, Lord. God, as we feel your presence here among us already, God, Lord, we're come under an expectation where two or three are gathered in your name. Father, you would be in our midst. And God, as we feel you here among us already, we ask that you would just anoint the word as it would come forth, Father. God, anoint both the speaker and the hearer, Lord. You know the needs that are in this building, Father. God, as we come to the beginning of these meetings, Father, we just dedicate our lives to you. We dedicate these meetings into your hands, Father. We ask that you would just have your perfect way here among us, Lord. And we're thankful for all that you've done for us already. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated here this evening. I just have a simple thought, but it would be unashamed of truth. And here in Mark, the Bible is telling us, and Jesus is speaking, whosoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him I will be ashamed of. And Brother Branham, he would preach a message called Ashamed, and he would tell us that God and his word are the same. So when you're ashamed of his word, then you're ashamed of God. Or if you're ashamed of God, you're ashamed of the word, because they're one and the same. And he would put this scripture in a present tense scripture. He would say, so whosoever is ashamed of me and of my words, he and his word are the same. So being ashamed of his word in this sinful present generation. So this, he was letting us know that this ain't a scripture to come or a scripture in the past. But this is something that is taking place today, and I'm so thankful that we would have a prophet that would tell us what we are, where we're at today, not point us back to yesterday. And Brother Branham, he would tell us that the church is always thanking God for what he has done, looking forward to what he's going to do, but fail to realize what he's doing today. So we would have a prophet to open our eyes and to let us know that he ain't a God of yesterday or a God of tomorrow, but the same God that was there yesterday is here with us today. But we're living in a time where nobody is satisfied, and it's easy to get that mentality. If you don't like your blue car, you can get a red car. If you don't like your big house, you can get a small house. If your house is too small, you can get a bigger house. And it's easy to get that mentality in the spiritual as well, where we become unsatisfied with the word of the Lord. And Brother Branham, he would ask that question, are we sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst? So while we're living in the day of options and conveniences, the Lord has given us one thing, and that's His word alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So while we have many options naturally, God has only given us one option spiritually, and that is the word of the Lord. And the Bible would tell us that we're living in the time of a famine. There in Amos 8 and 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a hearing for the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it." So when you think of a famine, you think of something that is not there. In a famine, normally there's not no food there, or in a drought, there's not no water there. But this ain't the case in this famine. The Bible says the word of the Lord is there, but they lack hearing of the word of the Lord. And so I believe this famine is the lack of hearing truth. So even though truth has presented itself, there still has to be somebody that is satisfied with it. And I believe why we're living in the time of famine, we're also living in the time of restoration. I believe God has given us a food in this generation that we can partake of and be satisfied with it. While the world is going to and fro from this church to that church, this denomination to that denomination, looking for the true word of God, the true word of God come looking for you. So while they can't find it, you have been found. And that is the incredible thing about election. While many has turned away, many says that he's a false prophet, but yet there's a desire on the inside of the believer's heart that looks at the word of God and would say, "Where would we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and I am impressed with the word." So while everybody is looking for the word of God, I have found the word of God. And I believe it is the truth for the hour. And Brother Branham, he would tell us this. He is the truth. Now many people, I've went in the churches and I've heard them say, "We have truth. Our creeds are right. They were handed to us by our fathers. We have truth. We have certain things." Others say, "We keep these kind of days. We keep these months and we do this. We got truth." Altogether, it's wrong. Jesus said he was the truth. Jesus said in St. John 17:17, "Sanctify them, Father, through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And then he would say, "He is the truth. There may be other truths, but Jesus is that real truth, that heavenly born truth." And I thought that's incredible. There may be other truths, but there is only one heavenly born truth. That is Jesus Christ, which is the message of the hour. And so what's incredible is Brother Branham would tell us that God is unusual. And the unusual is hard to believe and understand. He says that's why it's hard to understand truth today. It's so unusual. And so it's unusual to think that God would say there's going to be a virgin that was going to produce the promised child. And so while it was impossible, and yet that was the truth, heavenly born truth would take the impossibility and make it possible. And we're living in a time where it seems impossible for there to be marriage to stay together. But heavenly born truth has a different opinion and has given us an absolute where we can anchor our life upon, where it may seem impossible and hard to understand, but yet truth has been spoken. Oh, my, looked impossible for there to rain in Noah's day. And Brother Branham would say it was a scientific age and they had instruments up in the air to prove that it had never rained before. And so yet there was a truth saying it had never rained before, but there was another truth that was speaking a word saying it is going to rain. And while it seems impossible for there to be a bride without spot and without wrinkle, and the devil's made it his mission to make sure you don't meet those requirements, there's already been a truth that has been spoken over your life, and the gates of hell, they might come against you, but there is a truth that has already been spoken over your life. Oh my, so heavenly truth, it outweighs all of the truths of
the world. But the Branham, he would tell us that God is going to judge the world one day. And he would say that the Catholics, they say God's going to judge it by the Catholic Church. He would say, okay, then which one? Because there's many of them. The Presbyterians and the Protestants, they say God's going to judge it by their church. And Brother Branham would say, if so, then which one? He would say, God is going to judge the world by Christ, which is the Word. So we're living in a time where everybody claims to have truth, but there was only one truth, that is the Word of the Lord. And Brother Branham, he would tell us that the Baptists, they claim to have the truth, and the Methodists, they say, we have the truth. He says, well, there's only one way to make truth, that's to stay with the Word. He says, somebody got off of the Word somewhere, they have a portion of truth, but then they go and put a detour in it. They hit the highway and detour. He says, stay with the Word. So we can look at the denominations. They started with a portion of truth, but yet they would detour with their own ideas. And many times that can happen in the message as well, where we start out with truth, but we add our own ideas and our own opinions. That's why there's so many doctrines out in the message of the hour. But yet the Word of the Lord is still truth. No matter what you say about it, no matter what a preacher says about it, the Word of the Lord, I believe, is still the absolute in this generation. And Brother Branham would say, don't take some new thing. They're flying everywhere. There'll be more of that to come. But don't take these new things. The Lord your God has declared to you what is truth. The Lord your God has vindicated what is truth, and by His Word and by His Spirit. So He warned us that there's going to be other opinions arise. There's going to be other doctrines arise. There's going to be new things about the Word arise. But don't listen to those. Stay with what God has vindicated. And I'm sure we all can agree that God vindicated Malachi 4 through Brother Branham in this generation. He didn't vindicate some preacher. He didn't vindicate some prophet or some apostle. But He has sent us a Word in this generation and vindicated it so that we can know what is truth in this generation. You may say it seems hard to understand, but that's okay, because Jesus would say, everyone that is of truth will hear My voice. So even when it seems puzzling, just keep on listening. Even when it seems hard to understand, keep on listening, because if you are of truth, an understanding is going to unfold. So while we're living in a famine, the bride is eating on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham says, thanks be to God, we have been given hidden food. He says, spiritual food. He says, we're living on the goodness and mercy of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so while they're looking for a reality, we have found a reality. And it's incredible, because Brother Branham, he would tell us that we're privileged tonight to see the message of God, the angel of God. So it's more than just hearing a voice on a tape, but it's an understanding of what that voice is saying. And Brother Branham says, we're privileged to hear the voice of God. And I want to echo my voice to that. Amen. I'm privileged to understand what the Word has told us in this generation. And I believe that truth is a person. I don't believe truth is a doctrine or some theology or some idea, but I believe truth is a person. And Jesus would say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And He would say, I am, not I was or I will be, but I am is a present truth. And so whenever the scribes and Pharisees would come up to Him and would say, our father was Abraham, He would look at him and would say, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, what you're anchoring your life to had a beginning, but I am the I am. The same I am that would bring the children of Israel out of Egypt is still a present, on-time God. And I believe that the I am is still here through the form of the message of the hour that is anchored on the inside of your life. That when you go through truths, because trials can be a truth and discouragement discouragement can be truth, and anxieties can be truths, and there are things that you're fighting against, but the I am is still present in every situation, letting you know I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. When you come up against something and you might not see a way out of it, I'm still the I am. When you come against peer pressure and it seems like you can't make it through it, I am still the I am. And I believe that same God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here right now to confirm He is still the I am. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to say that the word of the Lord has called me by name in this generation and has revealed to Him, to me, that He is the I am. So the truth ain't something that changes because He's the unchangeable God. I am not a man that I should lie. I'm God and I change not. You can look at 1 Peter 1 and 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore faileth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by the gospel is preached unto you. And I love how Peter was putting it, that we anchor our life many times upon our flesh. We take what our mind says over the Word of God. We think we take what our feelings say over the Word of God. And He lets us know that your flesh is as grass. It's going to wither away someday. The flower is going to fall away. But the Word of the Lord is going to endure. So even when you're by the, if you go by the way of the grave, the Word of the Lord is still going to endure over your life. And what I love about it is Peter would then stop and say, this is the word which is being preached unto you. In other words, the word is enduring, and God is the word, and I'm not presenting something different to you. But the same unchangeable God that was in the beginning is the gospel that I'm preaching unto you. So whenever your feelings go up and they go down, the gospel is still the truth. And I believe that the message of the hour is still the word that is enduring forever. So when our flesh gets weak and our mind gets weak, the word of the Lord is going to endure forever. And the Bible would tell us in Psalms 119 and 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled forever in heaven. And so Brother Branham, he would take that scripture and would say, the word is confirmed in heaven forever. Nobody doubts it in heaven. It's we mortals that doubt Him. Everything in heaven believes His word. What God says, that settles it. The word is settled in heaven forever. It's already settled. And I think it's incredible how Brother Branham would put it, that nobody in heaven doubts it. It's us mortals that doubts it. That's why we're in the greatest battle ever fought. Brother Branham would say, it's right in your mind, because the devil knows that the word of the Lord is settled in heaven already, and not one word is going to return unto him void. So if he can get you to doubt it concerning yourself, he might be able to get you to stay behind. But little does the devil know, you came from God and you're going back to God. So if one word can't return unto him void, there's nothing the devil can do to keep you earthbound when your heart realizes what this word really is. Hallelujah. You come from God and you're going back to God. So He can come against your flesh, but that soul, if that soul ever anchors on the word of the Lord, your mind might go this way and go that way. Your feelings might go this way and go that way. But if that soul ever gets anchored on truth, you become unashamed and you can stand in the face of every devil and say, it's not what I can do, it's what truth has already done for me. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's why the devil is fighting this message so hard. Brother Branham, he would tell us that there's two spirits. One of them, God's Holy Spirit. The other one, the devil's spirit, working in deception. The people of the earth are now making their choice. And it's incredible because first, our 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10 would say this. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So they don't have a love for truth. So even though truth has presented itself and truth is here and still saying, I am the I am, they don't have a love for it. So while the church, and Brother Branham, he would tell us that we're living in the separating time. He says the devil's calling a church and God is calling a bride. And he would say, let me be a part of that bride. And we can see that the devil's claiming a church and they're taking on the mark of the beast. But at the same time, God is claiming a bride and they're taking on the seal of God. And it's two forces that has always been at work. It's the battle of good and evil. And Brother Branham, he would tell us that we have to get a revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the church. And by God's Spirit, discern and withstand that Antichrist spirit. And then Satan will be powerless before you like he was before Christ. He says, yes, Satan hates revelation, but he says we love it. And with true revelation in our hearts, the gates of hell will not prevail against us, but we will prevail against them. What is this revelation? It is the I am. It's the truth that has come to you to give you a discernment. While the church is taking on the mark of the beast, we have a discernment that we can withstand every spirit that comes from the gates of hell. And if you look at the definition, withstand, it means to stand up against, to oppose with firm determination, to resist successfully. So we don't want to just resist the devil. We want to be successful at resisting the devil. Because the church, they can try to resist the devil, but without a revelation, they're not successful at it. Oh, hallelujah. There's been many people, many preachers that has tried to resist the devil, but they have no authority to do it. But you have a revelation of truth, the I am, in this generation where you can resist successfully. And you would see that Brother Branham would tell us that the Antichrist spirit is a religious spirit. That's why it'll be so close that it'll deceive the elect if it was possible. And Brother Branham, he would tell us that the greatest robbery, he says, to the church is a false light. He says it's robbed them of the power of the Holy Ghost. He said it took the very lifeline out of the church. And Brother Branham, he would quote the scripture that Jesus would use, and by your traditions, you've made the word of God of none effect. And Brother Branham, he would tell us what that means. He says, we have disassociated the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to anoint the word of God that is laced out for this generation. So the greatest robbery to the church is kicking out the Holy Spirit to anoint the word. You see, I don't believe the word is just a letter, but either there was a life behind it. My words are spirit and they are life. So I believe we don't need just some dry-eyed sermons, but I believe we need an anointing behind the word that can change lives. Come on, now this ain't some five-step program and we try to talk young people how to overcome it, and we try to talk about keeping marriages together, but there's a life behind the word and we're not kicking it out. We're accepting the move of the Holy Ghost. If He anoints your flesh and anoints your spirit man, and He wants you to dance a little bit, you can do it. We don't want to put the Holy Ghost in a box somewhere, but the word has an anointing behind it that if it wants you to dance the aisles, we've got liberty to do it. If it wants you to speak in tongues, we've got the liberty to do it. You see, we don't want to put the Holy Ghost in a box, but we want it to have liberty in every avenue of our life. You see, so it takes a discernment to withstand the enemy and his tricks. And Brother Branham, he would tell us there were three things that we must not do. He says, must not interpret, mishandle, or dislocate the word. It must be kept just exactly the way God said it. And so the greatest lies have a portion of truth in it. Is that right? The greatest lies have a portion of truth. And Brother Branham would say this here. Now a glare, as I said, is a false light. It's a mirage. It's a false conception of true light. False conception is something that's supposed to look like it, but it isn't that. And it's incredible because we're living in an uncertain time. Brother Branham would call it the most deceitful age. And we're living in the day of AI. Anybody know what that is? I was reading something the other day on how the security cameras used to be a witness in the court settings. You know, if somebody broke into a house or into a store, if that camera ever got a glimpse of their face, then it links them to the crime scene. But I was reading something the other day where it's hard to use that anymore because of AI. They can link you to something when you wasn't even there. So we're living in a deceiving time, but yet it's a glorious time because you have a discernment to know when when a deceiving spirit comes and he says, you know, God, don't do this no more. There's a discernment to look at it but say, what does God say about it? You remember whenever the Bible tells us how that the devil would tempt Jesus in the wilderness, he would come with scripture and would try to condemn him. But what would Jesus say? But it is also written. Because the devil knows the quotes and scriptures better than you do. He can take quotes and scriptures and bring condemnation against your life and beat you down and beat you down. But a discernment can resist that successfully and say, but it is also written. I may have made a mistake, but yet grace is there to pick me back up. There's a discernment to know that even when the devil quotes scripture to you, how is he presenting it? Hallelujah. Because it's an uncertain time and you want to trust people, but it's hard to take someone's word. And Brother Branham, he would talk about the covenants and how that in China, I believe he says, or Japan, they throw salt on one another, right? And in the old days that they would tear sheepskin, and that was a covenant. And then he would say, here in America, what you do is you go out to eat and you shake each other's hand. And I thought, you can't even do that no more. Nobody's word, nobody is good to the word anymore. But yet the word of the Lord is still enduring. And I believe that's by design of the devil, because he wants you to get the mentality that somebody's word is not good anymore. And if you get that mentality, you can hear the word of the Lord and never accept it for you, because it's a deceitful age. And you remember how Brother Branham, I believe he was at an airport and he would see a commercial about the dish soap. Y'all remember the story? And how that, and this commercial, they took a glass or a plate that was dirty, would dip it in this soap and would pull it out and it was clean. So Brother Branham thought, you know what? I'm going to be Prince Charming. He would get some of this dish soap. He would come home and would say, honey, don't worry about the dishes. You got enough on your plate already. Let me do the dishes. And he would take it. He would put the plate inside of that dish soap, would pull it out, and it was just as dirty as it was before. And then he would say this here. So I said, when I see anything highly advertised, I just bypass it from then on. Don't bother it, because I know it didn't work on that. And that's what the devil tries to get you to do with the word of the Lord. He points out how this minister fell away, this deacon fell away, this marriage, it fell apart. And then you get the mentality, oh man, it's something that is too good to be true. But let me say this, truth is still enduring. In order for it to endure in your life, you got to make it your truth. That's the problem too many times. We don't want to make the word of the Lord our absolute, but I believe this message is the absolute to the believer. If you want to see a rapture, you can have it. But this has got to be your truth. Hallelujah. You see, this ain't the time to be cautious and judgmental, but we are to take the word of the Lord and what it says. And Brother Branham, he would talk about the greatest robbery that ever took place in England. He says it was by a false light. Is that right? He would say it was $7 million that would be taken from the railroad. And he says, you know how it happened? The train would come over the hill and there was a light. It looked like a genuine light. And yet when they would pull over, right, there was bandits that would take the $7 million. And I thought, oh my, that's what the devil's trying to get us to do. He's doing all he can to get us to pull over. He's doing all he can to get us to stop. But let me say this here. You have come too far to turn around now. The Lord has done too much for you to pull over by a glare or a false light of some. And I believe that's why we're living in the day of intelligence and YouTube channels. And it's and even though there so some things can be good on them, but yet there's all of these YouTube preachers, there's all of these websites. What are they doing? It's false lights trying to get you to pull over and get away from the I am. But I say, this ain't the time to pull over. Let the YouTube preachers say what they want to do. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to stand on truth. If I have to stand by myself, let me stand upon thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's what would happen in the Garden of Eden. We can see that the greatest robbery to humanity was in the Garden of Eden. Brother Branham, he would say, for in the beginning of the Bible, man was given the word of God to live by. One word misinterpreted by a man called Satan in the person of an animal called the serpent. Satan in this person could talk to Eve and misinterpret him the word to her and was lost. See, it must be every word. So all he would do would misinterpret what the word of the Lord said. And that's why I believe we have to have a discernment. And what's incredible is Brother Branham, he would tell us that the first messenger in the Garden of Eden was God himself. Ain't that powerful? Because many people have a problem with Brother Branham. He made mistakes. He was man. He was human. He done this and he done that. Are you sure it's not a deceiving spirit trying to get you to fall like Eve fell? Oh, come on, somebody. You see, because God was the first messenger, and yet Eve still found a mistake in that message. Come on, it's a deceiving spirit that tries to get you. Brother Branham would tell us that the fortification for Eve was the Word. He says he didn't attack Eve first, he attacked the Word. Then when she moved from behind the Word, then he got her. That's why it's an all-out attack upon the Word of the Lord. Because it is your fortification. It is your armor. It is your way for victory. So if he can get you to doubt it by a deceiving spirit, you have no ground to stand on. But what's powerful to me is here while Eve failed, Brother Branham would tell us that this bride is not that type of woman. He says we find now this evil age is to prove to Satan she is not like Eve. Not prove to you, prove to the devil. You may have had her fall in the midst of perfection, but my bride today is in your perfection, in your Eden, and yet they are not going to fall by a deceiving spirit. And I say, I'm a part of it. I'm a part of that bride that is letting the devil know you make up the first to fall, but this one is going to stand on truth and truth alone. Are you a part of that bride this evening that is standing upon truth with the discernment to know what is truth? And Brother Branham, he will tell us what we need today is a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening to discernment. And then Brother Branham, he would tell us that the seven unknown thunders is going to wake her up, right? It's going to be the awakening. And then Brother Branham, he would tell us that the thunders, they would sound at the opening of the seals. He would say, now this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he would turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Two, he will reveal the mystery mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths. So what's going to awaken the bride to a spiritual discernment is going to be a heavenly born truth. So that's why we are not like the first Eve, because we have been awakened to a spiritual discernment. And I believe that that's why we have been given in this generation. And we've tasted of heavenly things. We've already tasted of heavenly things. So the devil can come with his deception, but we have already been anchored on the voice of Almighty God. And you can remember there in Revelation 6 that when the first seal was opened, Brother Branham, he would tell us there was a clap of thunder, right? And he would tell us that the thunder was the voice of the Creator. And what's incredible to me is when the thunder would ring, then there was a voice. One of the beasts would tell John, come and see. He says when the thunder rang out, then the mystery would be revealed to John that he could now go and see. And I believe that is what has happened in this generation. We have heard the thunders. Brother Branham would tell us that at the sounding of the seals, the thunders would come forth. And I believe we are eating off of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I don't believe Christ is hidden somewhere, but he has been revealed in this generation that if you want to see him, you can see him. If you want to experience him, you can experience him. I believe we've witnessed the awakening of the bride. Right, Brother Branham? He would tell us that they're crying, they're fasting and praying, crying, Lord, send us a revival. Send us a revival. But he says they've missed it. He says they have not recognized the awakening of the bride. But I don't believe we've missed it, but I believe we have recognized it. And there's a powerful thing in recognizing what God is doing. You remember the woman that would come to Jesus and would wash his feet with her tears and dry it with his hair? Brother Branham says that she would recognize who he was, and that would release to her forgiveness. You see, so by recognizing where truth is, it opens up a channel where we can receive what God has for us. I believe he is still Jehovah Jireh. And by you recognizing where he is at, a door comes open and you can step into another world with God and God alone. I believe that can happen today. I believe it can happen this weekend. As the word comes forth, you recognize that the truth is still the I am. And a door opens up, and if you need healing, you can step into it. If you need deliverance, you can step into it. You need the Holy Ghost, you can step into it. We have not missed it. We've recognized where the I am is at today. Hallelujah. We've recognized where the I am is at today. And Brother Branham, he would tell us that whenever Satan would come against Jesus in the wilderness, Brother Branham would say this here, that Jesus didn't use his powers. He used his word. Is that right? It is written. It is written. And then Brother Branham would say this here. He defeated Satan on his own ground with the word of God. And the weakest Christian here tonight can defeat Satan anywhere, any place, anytime, under any conditions. With thus saith the Lord. Not with what you think is right, but with the I am. You see, because when thus saith the Lord is present, he can change situations. Hallelujah. Where thus saith the Lord is present. And I don't believe, hope this is okay, Brother Doug. You know, I don't believe you need some preacher to look over you and prophesy over you. We have already had a word vindicated, which was thus saith the Lord to you. And as you recognize it's for me, then miracles can take place. Hallelujah. Transforming power can take place. You remember that? Your Brother Branham would tell the story of the girl that would lose her mind and how that she, I believe that she was 16 years old and there was two girls and they would go to school. I'm sure y'all are familiar with the story and how that they would get teased at school. How that they don't smoke, they don't go to parties, they don't wear their pants. Brother Branham says one girl would say, you know, they can jump in a river. It don't bother me. I'm going to serve the Lord. Brother Branham says that other girl, she would listen to those voices. And he says it would develop a nervousness which would lead to a complex, right? And he said, we got to be careful with what truths we're listening to. Come on now, we're living in a day of anxiety. Why listen to what the devil says about you when God has already spoken a word over you? Come on, young people. The devil can come and say, you're this, you're that, you're this. But what about God says? Why listen to what the devil says about you when God has already given you a word? It says you're blameless, you're spotless, you're perfect. Your name is engraved in the palm of my hand. Why listen to the devil when you can listen to the I Am? Oh, hallelujah. And here Brother Branham would say this girl then would lose her mind. And it's incredible because Brother Branham says she was brilliant. She was a genius. She could sing. She could play music. She was the top of her class. But yet she would lose her mind. And now she was in a cell, an insane institution. Brother Branham says she was about to go into a padded cell somewhere. And then the parents would call Brother Branham and would say, can you come pray for her? Brother Branham would get into the room. He would look at her and would try to talk to her. And yet her eyes were just glazed over. They were glassed over. He couldn't get through to her. And he's talking to her and said, I'm Brother Branham. You remember me? She just looked straight ahead. And then he would keep on talking and would say, you wanted to marry a preacher. Brother Branham says something caught right there. And then he would say, thus saith the Lord, there's going to be change take place. Brother Branham would cover his mouth and would say, why did I say that? I don't know why I said that. Little did Brother Branham know that was thus saith the Lord to bring her identity back to her. Because he would be driving down the road and would get a phone call. And it would be the daddy and would say, Brother Branham, something's changed. Something has changed. She's got her rotten mind back. But the father would say this here. She has come back to herself. But you know what would do it? When Brother Branham would say, thus saith the Lord, there's going to be change. There was a mother that was sitting there and would slap her husband's knee and would say, he's never wrong. Brother Branham would say, she didn't mean me. She meant him. So where truth is present, it's got the authority to change situations. And let me say this here. He is never wrong. If he says you're going to make a rapture, he's never wrong. If he says there's a body change, he's never wrong. And it is for me. It's my absolute. It's my thus saith the Lord. He is the I Am for me personally. No matter what the skeptics say, no matter what the devil says, this is the I Am for me. And he's never wrong. I say, young people, he's never wrong. If you place the seed on the inside of your life, there's nothing the devil can do to destroy it. Hallelujah. He's never wrong. Oh my, could you imagine the excitement of daddy? Could be talking to Brother Branham. She's come back to herself. What was it? She was awakened to her identity before the fall. You see? And when we was in the mind of Christ, we were spotless. We was blameless. We was perfect. But then we would come into time and would have mistakes, would have failures. But what would this message do? It would take us back to the mind of God. It would take us back before your first sin. It would take us back before your first mistake. And even though you were sitting here looking at mistakes, saying, I've sent my day of grace away. I've done this too much. I've done that. But then thus saith the Lord would point you back to the mind of God and would say, you're spotless. You're blameless. And then you say, he's never wrong. If he says I've never done it in the first place, I believe it. If your sins is in the sea of his forgetfulness, why do you keep bringing them up? Come on, somebody. Why keep bringing up your past when God is showing you your future? There's nothing the devil can do. No matter the mistakes, no matter the failures, God has showed you what she was before. Oh, sometimes it's hard to see it, ain't it? Sometimes we sit there and all we see is this, all we see is that. And which are truths. You made a mistake, it's a truth. But what does heavenly born truth say? Come on now, you remember when Job, he was sitting on his ash heap. His servants would come and would say, your family is gone. It was true. Your livestock is killed. It was true. But yet, he wasn't looking at the troubles. He was looking to the word. And you know what would happen? Everybody was sitting around him. His friends said, "You're a secret sinner." But you know what he was doing? He knew he was not a secret sinner because of truth. He was standing on a burnt sacrifice. He knew that even though I might have made a mistake yesterday, the sacrifice lets me know I'm blameless. So he's sitting there, all of these voices all around him, trying to condemn him, trying to say he's worthless, trying to say he's a nobody. His wife would come up to him and say, "Curse God and die." In the midst of this hall, he would hear some thunder. What was that thunder? It was a voice. The skeptics didn't hear the voice, but Job heard the voice. What would that voice do? It would awaken him to what he was before the present condition. It would lift him up and would say, "Job, where was you when the sons of God shouted for joy?" In other words, before the present condition, you was. And then he would show him his future and would say, "In that flesh, you're going to see God." Letting him know that after this present condition, I still will be. And that's what this message has done to you. It lifted you up out of a present condition, out of your trials, out of your mistakes, out of your blunders, and says, "Before this, you was, and after this, you still will be." And I say this, what voice are you going to listen to? Come on, somebody. There's going to be voices saying your marriage can't last. But what does the voice of God say? There's going to be voices saying your children are not going to have the Holy Ghost. But what does the voice of God say? I'm going to listen to the voice of truth, no matter to what the other voices say. Hallelujah. I'm listening to the voice of truth because he's never wrong. My, we're riding on this word. And I believe it's something that we can't get upon the word of the Lord and it carries him. And that's what would happen to Job. He would ride on the word of the Lord. And even though his condition might not have changed, he may have still been sitting on his ash heap. But yet there was a word spoken to his life. And your situation, it might not change right away, but still ride upon the word of the Lord. Because if you're riding on the word, Brother Branham would tell us that the Spirit of God, that the Holy Ghost had come from God. And he says, if you're tied to it, he says, when the Holy Ghost goes back to God, he says, you're going to go with him. So if the word of the Lord is going to return to him someday, I want to be tied to it. And you see that the Bible would tell us that the Lord would speak to Moses. In Exodus 19:4, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." And Brother Branham, he would tell us that the eagle's wings that they were riding upon was the message that Moses was packing. He says it was the message of deliverance. And I believe it is the same thing today. That is something that we can ride upon no matter the trials we go through, no matter the problems we go through. And you remember that Brother Branham, he would tell the story about how that when his wife had died and his little girl had died, and there was a skeptic that would come up to him. Y'all remember the story? And how they would come up to him and would say, "You know, I've seen how you would work all day. You would come home, preach on the street corners, and you would get up, work again, come back and preach. And now your baby's died and your wife is dying. What do you think of your God now?" What would Brother Branham say? "I still thank him as faithful," right? And then the man would say, "Oh, you kept your religion, huh?" What would Brother Branham say? "No, my religion has kept me." You see, it was more than just a doctrine, but it was the "I am" to him personally, that when there were truths surrounding him, but yet there was a heavenly born truth that was carrying him. And you can see that many times we have given up on God, but yet God never gave up on us. It's because you're riding on the word. When you gave up, maybe you didn't understand and said, "There's no way I can understand this." But yet truth would pick you up. Hallelujah. He would never give up on you, even when you gave up on God. And it's incredible because Brother Branham, he would say that eagles are like prophets, right? He would say the eagle goes up so high that it sees the sunlight, even when it's still dark on the ground, it gets up so high and begins to see what's in the future. And I love that because we're in a five senses, a body that is contained by five senses, right? We see, we hear, we smell, we taste, we feel. And too many times we judge our life by those five senses. And yet we had an eagle that went up and we're looking to the future. And what's incredible is the ability that God would give prophets. And it wasn't what the prophet can do. It was what God would show them. You can look on how that it was Moses, right, that would write Genesis and Exodus. And he would write out, in the beginning, God created him. But was Moses there? No, but it was the ability that God gave a prophet to lift him up and could see. And then you can look at the Apostle Paul. He would say, we know that the world was framed by the words of God. How did he get that? By the word of Moses. Moses wasn't there, but it was an eagle that would lift him up. And it was years later, people were still pointing back to that, what God showed that eagle. And here we are in Laodicea. And God has given us an eagle that has went up and showed us where we was before the foundation of the world and where we will be at the end of time. You see, so while there's other voices, I want to listen to what the voice of God says. And here the Bible says that the message that Moses had would pick them up on eagle's wings. And even though they would go through many trials, many situations, they would go through the Red Sea. After all of that, here would stand Caleb. Caleb would stand there and would say that the land is flowing with milk and honey. You notice that his reports would line up with the report of Moses. Because Moses would come and would say, God has sent me to deliver you. But he wasn't just bringing him out, but he had to take them somewhere. Is that right, Brother Branham would tell us that there's two phases, right, to redemption, a coming out and a going into. So Moses' message would bring them out, but then would show them a glimpse in their future and would say there's a land flowing with milk and honey. So when they came out, they had something they were striving for. And if they would only follow that message, it would lead them all the way into their future. But what I think is so incredible is here they would get to the border of their future, right? And then they would begin to murmur and complain and how there was the sons of Anak and how the walled cities were this and we looked like grasshoppers in our own sight. But what would Caleb do? Caleb would steal the people. And if you look up that word steal in the Greek lexicon, it means to quiet, it means to hush. So here there were voices that were condemning the promise of God, which they were truths. There were the sons of Anak. There were giants there. There were walled cities there, which were truths. But Caleb would hush them up and would say, that might be true. We might be living in the greatest battle ever fought. We might be fighting the God of this evil age. But what did the word say? What did truth say? And he would steal the people and would say, we are more than able to take that land. His report had come in line with the report of the eagle. And I believe our confession can line up with the report that the eagle has told us in this generation. Oh, you may say, I don't know what to say. Pick up the word of the Lord and speak it. You may say, I don't know too many quotes. Take what you do know and speak that word. You know what the Bible tells us? That the power of death and life is in that tongue. I believe that we've got the authority to bring life in situations. Oh, you may say, you don't know where I'm at, but I know what truth can do. And as you pick up truth and you begin to speak truth, it can bring a life in a situation. Oh, hallelujah. The power of death and life is in that tongue. You remember how that when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem or back to the homeland there. And here maybe would start to dance, right? And his clothes would fall off and his wife would look and would criticize and would speak out against that. And you know the Bible would say that her womb was shut up, right? What her words brought lie or death in her situation. But then we can look. There was a thief on the cross. Hallelujah. One would look at Jesus and would say, if you're really who you say you are, why don't you save yourself and save us as well? And the other one would steal him and would hush him up and would say, what we have done, we deserve this, but this man has done no wrong. He will look at Jesus and would say, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And what would Jesus say? Today, you will join me in paradise. What his confession brought life in that situation. Oh, we need some more people that ain't ashamed to pick up the word of the Lord and speak the word and bring life in every situation. I believe life can come right now in your situation. It might seem impossible, but pick up the word of the Lord and begin to speak that word. Oh, hallelujah. Because Brother Branham, he would tell us that to be ashamed means to be embarrassed. Is that right? So we can look at Caleb. He would silence the people. He wasn't ashamed in front of the people. And that is good, not to be ashamed in front of people. But too many times, who we're ashamed in front of is the devil. Come on, now Brother Branham would tell us that Adam's bride was tried by the word. Adam's bride believed every bit of the word, all but confused on one promise. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but failed on one promise under the temptation to the enemy face to face. And so that's where many of us are embarrassed, is face to face with the devil. Whenever complexes come or negativity comes. But the Bible would tell us in Joel 2 and 26 that we shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that have dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. So he links to being unashamed to being satisfied. So why many people can't be unashamed is because they're not satisfied with the word. But it would be the Apostle Paul that would say, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Since he was persuaded, he would stand and would not be ashamed. He would say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It was a man that was persuaded in the truth that was given him. And here we are in the most deceitful age where we can't take anybody's word, but yet we're persuaded. What is it? It's a paradox. It seems impossible, but yet it's true. It seems unbelievable, but yet it's true, because there's a seed on the inside that says, where would we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed to speak the word. Let me testify. You remember the man that was born blind and how that Jesus would open up his eyes, right? And then the Jews would go to his parents and would say, is that your son that was born blind? That says, yeah, that was our son. He was born blind. And they would ask him, well, how did he get his sight? What would they say unto them? Ask him. He's of age. He can speak for himself. And you know what the Bible says? That when they came back to him, he began to preach a sermon to him and would say, how is it that this man opened my eyes and you don't even know where he came from? We know if this man's a sinner, God wouldn't hear him. He's preaching a sermon. And the Bible says that they stopped him and would say, how is it you're a man born in sin and you teach us? And the Bible says they kicked him out. They kicked him out of the church. But you know, that was not the end of the story. The Bible says that once Jesus heard he was kicked out of the church, he would seek him out. What was it? If you stand for me, I'll stand for you. If you're not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you. He was kicked out of the church, but then truth would come seeking him out. And would say, you stood for me, I'll stand for you. And you may be ridiculed, you might be kicked out of homes and churches, but don't worry, truth has sought you out. It says, if you stand for me, I'll stand for you. Oh my, this man wasn't ashamed to speak. Let me testify. I once was blind, but now I see. There's deceitfulness all around, trying to discourage the authority of the word. But let me testify. And you want to preach a sermon? Let the word change your life. Come on now, let the word change your life. And you can have that confession. I once was blind, but now I see. I was going to hell, but now my future has been changed. I was bound for a tribulation, but truth would seek me out. Hallelujah. That's what happens when somebody is persuaded. And Brother Branham will tell us, but if you rely on hope, you hinder faith. Now, hope looks for something way off, but faith claims it right now, see? Faith says God said so, and it's mine that settles it, see? I don't care if I'm still crippled, if I'm still blind, if I'm still sick. That has nothing to do with it. He goes on a little bit farther, and would say, faith acts now, it's positive. He says, everything goes away from faith, because faith stands up and takes over rule. When faith speaks, everybody else shuts up. And I love that quote because there's going to be other voices. Hope is going to push it off into the future. But when faith speaks, in other words, faith has a voice. And we're going to speak faith or we're going to speak hope. And hope says God can do it, but it's somewhere off in the future. You know, that's where Saul and David's brothers were. Brother Branham says it was revealed to David that he could bring down the giant. He says his brothers believed it could be done, but not through them. It was hope saying he can do it, but he can't do it today. You see, but David had another voice. He was speaking faith, saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this deceiver? Who is this that is trying to bring down truth? Let me testify of what truth has done for me. The same God that destroyed the lion can destroy the spirit. And I said, there's some people today that has been through some hard times, but truth has brought you out of it. And if truth brought you this far, he's going to continue to take you on. I said, let me testify. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. It's truth that he's enduring. Hallelujah. It's enduring. So faith has a positive voice. And when faith speaks, all of the other voices, all of the other truths, they shut up. And you see, Brother Branham will tell us that faith climbs up a ladder until you break into another world. And he says, and there you can't see. So how do you get faith? By the preaching of the word, right? So as the word is coming forth tonight and this weekend, as you begin to receive the word, your faith begins to lift you up into another world where you can look and you can see that the promises of God are yea and amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that started your journey and he's going to be faithful to complete it. We can step into another world. And I believe that's the purpose of these meetings. I don't want to just come to this building and hear a good sermon. I want to get lifted up into a heavenly places where I can step into another world and I can see that my children can be saved. I can see that my marriage can last. I can see that a revival is for my home. You want a revival? Climb up that ladder. You want to see miracles in your home? Climb up that ladder and look into another world and say, God, I accept it, I believe it, and I confess it. You see, because too many times we let negative confessions come out of our mouth. And it's bringing death in our situation instead of speaking the word which can bring life. You see, Brother Branham, he would tell us that once you really, when God reveals to you the truth of a thing, he says you're absolutely undefeatable. So once you get a revelation of truth, you're absolutely undefeatable. And what's incredible is Brother Branham would say, he says, in your heart, just keep saying it over and over. If you don't believe it altogether, keep saying it until you do believe it. Just keep saying it over. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Because what is he? He's Christ. He's the high priest of our confession. Because sometimes our flesh don't believe it. Sometimes our mind don't believe it. But that don't do away with that soul. That soul is anchored. So many times we let the flesh speak. And that becomes our confession. Oh, I wish God could do it. I wish God could heal. I wish God could deliver. And here the soul is saying, let me speak. He is still the same yesterday. He can still heal. He can still deliver the bound. He can still fill with the Holy Ghost. You know what I say we need to do this weekend? Stop letting the flesh speak and let that soul speak. Let us speak the word and bring alive its situations this weekend. Hallelujah! Because truth is enduring. You see, and we have received truth, and I believe that is the word of our deliverance. Brother Branham would tell us that Moses, he wouldn't compromise because he stepped into the light of his deliverance. And what's powerful to me is here Moses, he would come with, "Thus saith the Lord," and who he met was the I Am. It was the same I Am that brought life upon the earth. Was the same I Am that was bringing life in that situation. He would come up and would say, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh would say, "Oh yeah, that's fine and dandy. You can take a little bit here, but you got to leave this behind. You got to leave that behind. You can't have all your joy. You can't have all your peace." Brother Branham says Moses wasn't a compromiser because he had come into the light of his deliverance. He knew that where light was, darkness had no more power. You see, too many times we compromise on the promises of God. They'll be coming to a convention like this, and we hear the promises of God, and then our flesh starts to speak doubt, and we say, "Oh man, we thought this was our weekend. We thought God can do it for me." But let me say this here. You have stepped into the light of your deliverance. Whatever you have need of this weekend, you have stepped into another world where all things are possible. Hallelujah! It might seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Sarah, it might seem impossible for you to have that baby, but let me tell you what I can do. Abraham, it might seem impossible, but let me tell you what I can do. Hallelujah! Oh my, we need to let faith speak. And here Brother Branham would tell us that the faith is positive. And he would say, faith needs no booster. Faith knows what it's talking about. He says, symptoms can't even speak at all when godly faith speaks. And so here, symptoms is still going to have a voice. Come on now. But the voice of truth, it numbs it down. You remember Jonah? He was in the belly of the whale, right? Brother Branham says he looked over here, it was whale's belly. Looked over there, whale's belly. Seaweed was wrapped around his neck. Was it a mirage or was it real? It was real, right? A real whale, real seaweed, real situation. But what would Jonah say? "These are lying vanities." Why? He then would say, I look again to the holy temple. What was it? His voice. His positive faith would numb down the voices of the other afflictions until all God could hear was a voice of thanksgiving. And I say too many times we lose our praise in the hard time. You might be in a real circumstances, but look again to truth. Look again to the word of the Lord. And say, "Your truth is enduring. Your truth is enduring. These situations are lying vanities. They might have voices, but don't listen to those voices. Listen to the voice of truth. Listen to what God has to say about your situation." Hallelujah. They might have voices, but you don't have to listen to them. Oh my, because you see, negativity won't bring you out of your hard time. Come on, a positive word can. Oh my, Brother Branham, he would tell us that we want to change from hope to a positive faith. And he says there's only one way we can get from positive faith. That's by positive thinking or positive things. You see, Brother Branham, then he would say again, he says, "You hear so much of positive thinking." He says, "Just put your mind on anything and think positive on it." He says, "The devil can do that. There's only one thing that rules over. That's God's word. If you are thinking contrary to the word, forget your thinking. Think on the word." So he was letting us know that this ain't just mind over matter, where you're thinking positive about this and it's going to change. But he's saying it's thinking positive on the word of the Lord. If your thinking is contrary to that word, then do away with your thinking. You know what Brother Branham would say? That whenever Eliezer would come to Rebekah, he would say that Rebekah would veil herself. He says, you know why she done that? Because Isaac was now going to be her thinking. And I love that because many times we embrace truth, but we want our own thoughts. But he said, when Eliezer would call her name, she then would veil herself where her thoughts was Isaac's thoughts. And I want God's thoughts to be my thoughts so that my voice can be a positive voice. And Brother Branham, he would tell us that it takes meditation on the Word of the Lord to bring us into His presence. Because then once we're in His presence, that's going to influence our speech. You remember whenever Peter, he was standing there when Jesus, he was about to be crucified. And then they would come up to Peter and would say, "You're one of His disciples." What would Peter say? "I don't know the man. I never heard of Him." They say, "Oh yeah, you were with Him." He says, "No, I have not been with Him." And they will look at Him and say, "Your speech betrayeth thee." What was it? His speech was a vindication of who He was fellowshipping with. And you know what He would do? He was ashamed of that speech. And then He would begin to speak the devil's language. He would begin to cuss. Oh man, too many times we become ashamed in the presence of our adversary to speak the word of the Lord. And we begin to speak His language. You know what Brother Branham says His language is? A negative speech. Oh, hallelujah. But I believe our confession can be influenced by the presence of the Lord, that we can speak in the midst of our adversary. Hallelujah. That we can still speak the words of life and it can change our situations. Hallelujah. Oh, my Brother Branham, he would tell us what confession is. He would say you got to deny your own thinking. He says confession means to say the same thing. And I thought that's a powerful thing because he would talk about the prophets. He would say the prophets of old were not ashamed because they got directly, "Thus saith the Lord." And so if confession is just to say the same thing, we're speaking, "Thus saith the Lord." And we don't have to be ashamed, just like the prophets were not ashamed. And let our musicians come this evening. Brother Branham, he would tell us that Moses was veiled. And he was the living word to the people. And he says, so is it today. He says, the word is veiled in your skins. He says, we are written epistles, read of all men. No, now, what's so powerful is he talks about idols. And would say that people believe on idols and how that they fall down and worship them. And they expect him, they expect that idol will speak to them. And he says, but God, he don't come to idols. He comes to living idols and speaks through them. And I thought, oh my, the voice of the groom is in the bride. And I believe we can pick up the word of the Lord and we can speak it with authority. You believe that here this evening? You can speak it. And there's a story there in the book of Judges, I believe. There was an invading army was in the land and it was wiping out the military. It was wiping out all of the men. And the Bible would say that there was some people that would go into a tower. And then this king would go to the tower and would burn the tower down. But then there was a certain woman that would go into a strong tower. It wasn't just a tower, it was a strong tower. And the Bible says that this king, he was burning down the towers and would come up to this strong tower. And then would look up and would try to beat the door down. But couldn't get into the tower because he couldn't get through the door. And I thought, oh my, we have ran into a strong tower, right? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And Jesus would say, "I am the door. No man can come into me. No man can come in except through me." He couldn't get through that strong tower. And here the certain woman was up in heavenly places. She would look out of the tower and would see that this king had wiped out this family, wiped out that home, wiped out this one. And you know what she would do? The Bible says she took a piece of a millstone. Not the whole millstone, but just a piece of it. You know what Brother Branham would say? Confession is a stone. She couldn't have the whole millstone, but she just had a piece of it. And she would look out of heavenly places and would send that confession. And the devil, the deceiver that was taking over homes, taking over churches, taking over lives, that confession would bring a light of deliverance in her situation. And you may say, "I don't know many scriptures. I don't know many quotes." But just take a piece of it. Take a piece of the word of the Lord. And take that confession. Speak that confession. Speak the word of the Lord. And as you speak it, it's your light of deliverance.
And I believe the light of your deliverance is here this weekend. Hallelujah. The Bible would say in Psalms 119 and 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever, and will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. And I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Oh, I think we need to speak in front of the kings of pornography, in front of the kings of lust, in front of the kings of anxieties. Whatever the kings are, don't be ashamed to speak the word of the Lord. For it is truth, and truth is enduring. Let's bow our heads here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, how grateful we are for your presence. Lord, as we feel you here, Lord. Lord, I pray the word tonight has touched a heart, Father. And if there's some here, Lord, that might be truths around them. But God, may they listen to what your truth has to say. Lord, it's your truth that is enduring. Lord, our feelings are going to fall away. But God, your truth is still going to remain. And Lord, may life come in situations this week, Lord. God, as we're at the beginning of these services, Father. God, we ask that you would have your perfect way, Lord. We commit the remainder of the service into your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have a song, brother?
About who you stand in.
Can we stand and sing this with our brother here tonight?
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me back.